that is Lord of Glory, you have bought us. And today is Rumination Tuesday on the September the 18th in the year of our Lord 2018, which means with us we have our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How are you this day?
I'm doing real good with the snow out there. It's not bad at all.
Snow? Where do you see snow?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I took the wrong
beautiful
medicine.
Beautiful day. It's supposed to be a hot one. Hot one today.
90s?
Maybe even record-breaking, yeah.
Boy. Oh, it doesn't matter to me. I leave an air-conditioned house, get in an air-conditioned vehicle, and come to an air-conditioned studio.
Yeah, can't beat that, can you?
Yeah, you can. It can be air-conditioned outside.
Yes, I suppose so.
For sure. Lord of Glory, you have bought us. Are you familiar with the author Eliza S. Alderson? Do you know him?
It's a lady, isn't it? Eliza.
Very good.
Yeah, Eliza. That's the middle name of my granddaughter.
You're kidding.
It sure is. Eliza.
Well, she submitted this hymn to the editorial committee of Hymns Ancient and Modern and had her brother write the original tune, John B. Dykes. And he was surprised his sister had written the hymn. And was not that satisfied with her first four stanzas. He added a fifth one and finishing up with four lines of his own composition.
What happened to the fifth one?
It's on there.
Is it?
Oh, no, so I guess it's not.
There's four stanzas.
Yeah, you're right.
I wonder if one of those is his.
It's possible.
Maybe he just bumped
Well, I think the fourth one is. Because what it says, he added the fifth stanza by repeating the first four lines of stanza one.
Yeah. Oh, half of it isn't original with him. I mean, he took the first three lines from the first verse.
And they probably punished him because the tune they're using here is by a different individual than him.
Yeah, how do you pronounce that tune?
Heifredol.
Heifredol?
Heifredol. Yeah. Heifredol. Yeah, that's...
It's a pretty melody.
Yeah, in fact, I've already sent in the hymns for this Sunday, and this is going to be the opening hymn. We're going to have some fun this Sunday. But Lord of Glory, you have bought us. And in my promo, I was talking about when you buy something, you have to put down a price and you get a product. What was the product? What was the price?
The product was our salvation.
Yes.
And He shed his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom.
Boy.
That was the great price he paid.
That sounds like something Martin Luther wrote. That's really good.
It's right out of his small catechism.
Yep, I know. Yes. In fact, we're going to end the service singing about the small catechism.
Oh, that'll be good.
Because I am strong about hoping that families are using it every day in their homes.
Let's see, how's that hymn go? Lord, help us ever to retain
the catechism's
doctrine plain.
Yes.
As Luther taught the word of youth to simple simple child and tender youth, I think.
Very good.
That? Yeah, oh yeah. Well, you know, you sing these hymns, you choose these hymns every Sunday, you get to learn them. You
yes.
just do.
Well, until you ask the members of the congregation, on earth is not his equal. Who's that referring
yes.
to? And they all say Jesus. Said, nope. Mighty Fortress, it's the devil.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a blind man in my congregation, blind from birth.
Oh, wow.
And you could give him any number in the hymnal. It was the old Lutheran hymnal. You could give him any number, and he could tell you what hymn that was.
Wow.
Or you could do it verse. He could tell you, okay, now what number is I Am Jesus' Little Lamb? He could give you the number, just like that.
Did they have
And he had about three large volumes of Braille hymnal.
That's what I was going to ask.
He'd want to know ahead of time what hymns we were going to use because he wanted to know what volumes to carry in. I mean, they were big volumes. Oh, he was something.
And who's the blind pastor? David.
David, what's his name? What's his last name? I can't think of his last name.
You can't think of his last name?
I know. I'll know it right when I hear it.
Well, of course you will when you hear it.
What is his name?
We'll Good talk God. About that later. Lord of glory, you have bought us. Why don't you go ahead with the first stanza?
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. And with that have freely given blessings countless as the sand to the unthankful and the evil with your own unsparing hand.
Talk about having a Christian attitude here. Because one would expect in every other religion that the blessings would go to the thankful and the good.
Yeah.
But here the blessings go to the what?
For the lost ones.
No, what does it say specifically?
Never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. And with that have freely given blessings countless as the sand to the unthankful. Oh, yes. To the unthankful. You know, people that don't even, you know, they don't even realize what they're getting.
Yes.
And the evil. Even the evil. Christ has redeemed even the wicked and the evil.
When people ask me what's the difference between Lutheranism and other religions, I always say that in Lutheranism, works don't make any difference as to whether you go to heaven or hell. And they get really surprised at that.
Yeah, oh boy, yeah.
Yes, because...
Especially the way you put it.
What do you mean, especially the way I put
well,
it?
Well, you... You say it so bluntly.
Well,
you know,
why shouldn't you say
I don't
bluntly?
Believe in Jesus? Yeah, you go to hell. I mean, that's what you'll say. I mean, that's pretty blunt.
No, I wouldn't say that because I would want to know what's the Jesus they don't believe in.
Uh-huh, okay.
You know,
right.
And see, remember,
one you can be very exact in your language. You can be.
Well,
you can also
be
a little sloppy once in a while.
Oh, never that. Never that. You know. So that the goal is to get their head to catch up with their heart. Because a lot of times when you ask questions, they answer with their head. And they don't realize the faith they have in their heart.
Right.
You know, I gave that example recently of a woman I was talking to who thought she was a Gnostic. But she believed Jesus died on the cross and he died for the forgiveness of sins.
No kidding. She's better off than some agnostics.
Well, I know. She just had a lot of questions about the Bible. And so, therefore, she thought she was an agnostic.
But she was like a closet Christian, didn't realize it.
Right. I think she was. Mm-hmm. We had in our neighborhood Mormons, who I believe were definitely saved.
Uh-huh.
Because
uh-huh.
they hadn't yet reached the temple level.
Uh-huh.
And so anytime...
They believe in the Trinity?
Huh?
They believe in the Trinity?
I can't recall specifically that, uh-huh. but since Abraham didn't, and he's going to heaven, doesn't make much difference.
You don't think Abraham believed in the Trinity?
No.
I don't know about you. Believe in the same God we believe in.
Well, true.
That's the Trinity.
Well, that's true, but...
Okay, Tom. How are you going to get out of that one?
Easily. All you have to do is ask him, do you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? The what, the what, the what?
See, I've always held that the Old Testament believers believed in the Trinity.
They
sure.
believed in the same God we lived in, but would they believe that he was going to be born in Bethlehem?
After Micah lived.
Very
yes.
good. That's the point I'm making. Once more information came, that became part of their faith.
Uh-huh, sure, sure.
But until it came, they yeah. were... Look at Eve. Who did she think the Messiah was?
Cain.
Yes.
Yes.
So was she saved?
I have a man, the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was she saved?
No, I think so, sure.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
And yes, she made a mistake about who the Messiah was.
Right.
So I'm not going to say if someone doesn't understand the Trinity or have a meaning of the Trinity. I mean, it is clear it's found in the first verses of the Bible.
It is.
The Father, the Holy Spirit, and God said,
That's
let
right.
there be light.
Let us make man in our image.
Yes. So how far they understood that. One of the points that the professors often made is many a time when the Old Testament writers wrote what they wrote, they had no idea what it meant.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
Like Psalm 22.
I remember, I think Martin Charlemagne was making that point once.
Pierced in hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the crucifixion hadn't even been invented yet. What does that mean? But he still wrote it because he was inspired to do so.
Right.
So that's why we send kids through catechism, because they don't know any of this stuff in the head, but they have proper faith in the heart.
Yeah. I can remember when it first dawned on me that there was the Holy Spirit.
Really?
I can remember that as a youngster, saying, I didn't know anything about the Holy. Even he'd given me faith and all that, but I knew Jesus, of course. I knew God.
Yes.
You know. But I can remember hearing for the first time about the Holy Spirit. I think my sister told me about him.
Yeah.
And I thought, I didn't,
until I went to catechism, I didn't know what was meant by humiliation and exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
And that pastor did that staircase going down.
Yeah.
You know, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That's humiliation. And then going up. And the first one was descend into hell.
Right.
That's part going up.
Yes.
And so, as I said to the congregation last week, the reason you're coming to church is not in order to be saved. You're already saved in baptism.
That's right.
But last week's reading, I think it was from Isaiah 35. I started the sermon this way.
Yes.
Is the purpose of coming to church to learn more about Jesus and what he has done for you and the blessings.
Right.
And I said, anyone disagree with that? And, of course, nobody did, but it was the wrong answer.
They don't dare.
Well,
you know, Oswald Rice.
Let me finish this.
Okay.
That's not the purpose. Isaiah 35 says, in order to be comforted.
In order to be comforted.
Yes.
And
not
that
to learn.
And that I may know him better.
That's not in Isaiah 35. There's no doubt that happens. But knowing him better doesn't naturally comfort you. You're only comforted by the promises.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So that's
Getting to know him better. All of his promises.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So what were you going to say? You got to give him one every now and then, folks.
You got to be more exact in your language there, Tom.
Yes. What were you saying?
Let's get on with the hymn.
No. You mentioned another professors.
Oswald Rice, you know, used to write that adult instruction book, That I May Know Him.
Oh, okay.
14 sessions, and it was entitled That I May Know Him. And granted, we get to know him already in baptism as a little infant.
But what is a synonym in the Bible for know?
The synonym for know.
Yes.
In the Bible.
Okay, let me ask you this. Did the devils know him?
They knew who he was.
No, they didn't.
They didn't trust in his promises.
The synonym.
What are you talking about? The demons knew Jesus when he came to earth.
No, they didn't.
They didn't know him. They didn't believe in him.
They didn't
have saving faith.
When the Bible talks about knowing God, it always refers to believing. That's the synonym for know.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And therefore, the demons didn't know him.
But they sure knew who he was. Oh, yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No.
I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Remember the demon that said that?
Yeah.
They were scared to death of him when he started casting out demons.
That may be. But
I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Don't
but that's
you
not who that's Jesus is. He's the Savior.
Right. Right. They didn't know him that way.
Neither did the Pharisees.
Right.
Yeah. So knowing Jesus, being familiar with him, like Muslims are, Jehovah's Witnesses are, Mormons, they still don't know him.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Stanza 2.
Okay. Stanza 2. Grant us hearts, dear Lord, to give you gladly, freely of your own. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone. Till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you, at length believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive.
A lot of people don't believe that it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah, that's why their hearts of stone need to be melted.
Yes, because their motivation is self-interest.
Yes.
What's in it for
me?
Yes, happens all the time. Now, what does grant us hearts, dear Lord, to give you gladly, freely of your own? What does that mean?
Give you, well, everything belongs to him. Everything. Everything belongs to him. And give us hearts that realize this and gladly do your will with the gifts that you've entrusted to us.
Yes. There's some good theology here. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of, you would think, of ice. But it says of stone.
Stone, yeah. Stone is tougher than ice, even.
Yes, and that's even melted with the sunshine of your goodness. What's the sunshine of his goodness? How would you explain that?
Sunshine of his goodness. Well, the sunshine of his... I think of Jesus, the Son of Righteousness.
Right.
Arises with healing in his wings. I think of Jesus, the Son, the S-O-N, rising from the dead on the third day on Easter. I think of those things.
What's the goodness he gives us that melts our hearts of stone?
Forgiveness.
Yes. Excellent. Yes. Because that's the biggest problem.
Right.
Tell me a religion that doesn't try to answer the question, how can we be saved in light of our sin? Every religion has that goal. And every answer, except for Christianity, is you have to placate...
appease God somehow.
An angry God, yes. And then they tell you how to do it, yeah. Whether it's facing the city 5 times a day or praying or...
Or whipping yourself, something like that. Whipping yourself bloody.
Yeah, I just read... Concordia Journal came out this week from St. Louis. Has an excellent article. But one of them I was really interested in, Luther later in his life, talked about how he came to faith. He said that prior to really realizing the proper understanding of the righteousness of God, he was afraid of God. He hated God because he thought righteousness of God, you had to be righteous for God to love you.
Yeah.
And it was really an interesting, it was over a page in length that he wrote about this and how all the lights went on when he realized that the righteousness of God is a righteousness that is given over to us.
Right.
In another excellent article, Augustine believed that we became righteous, whereas Luther taught we are declared
righteous.
It's a huge difference.
Yes.
Because when a person looks within themselves, they don't see that being made righteous. And being declared, that's why I like adoption. You don't feel like...
You don't
like
deserve it.
No.
You haven't earned it. You don't deserve it.
But you are declared.
But you declared a son.
That's right. So, 3.
Now, this has some difficult words in it. Wondrous honor you have given to our humblest charity. In your own mysterious sentence, you have done it all to me. Can it be, O gracious master, that you deign for alms to sue, saying by your poor and needy, give as I have given to you?
Excellent. Now I'll go to 4. what? Why are you laughing?
Don't you think that has some tough words in there?
For example,
that you deign for alms to sue. What
yes.
does that mean? Right off top of your head, what does that mean, Tom?
Well,
it's a tough one. I think I
ahead
know
of time that you have given to our humblest charity in your own mysterious sentence, you have done it all to me. What verse is he talking about?
In your own mysterious sentence, you have done it. Oh, he's talking about, inasmuch as ye have done it to the least of these thy brethren, ye have done it to me.
And what is that passage?
I can't give you the reference.
Sheep and the goats.
The sheep and the goats.
Remember, he goes through the sheep. You visited me in prison, etc.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's
say,
right. You're right. That's the judgment of the sheep from the goats. You're right.
You said I'm
once
right
in a
twice.
While. Once
yes,
in a while, you're
thank
right.
You. Okay. You have done it to the least of these, my brethren. You've done it unto me. And there he's talking about not works, but fruit of faith. Namely, to our humblest charity. What's the synonym for charity?
Love.
Yes. and he showed they love, they don't remember doing all those things. Whatever you did to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it all unto me. And so can it be, O gracious master, that you deign for alms to sue, saying by your poor and needy, give as I have given to you. So you're asking, what does it mean, deign for alms to sue?
Yeah.
What does deign mean?
Tell us, O great one. What does that mean?
What does deign mean?
I think deign, now, I haven't looked it up in the dictionary, but I think, I'm guessing, it's a guess. I would say deign means presume?
Yes. That
that you presume to make this demand on us, or expectation?
You
presume to expect this of us,
that's
right?
That's right. And that you expect is another word for
sue
deign.
Sue is a strange word there. S-U-E, that's a strange word to use. I suppose it's the only one that would rhyme or work.
Well, actually, it rhymes with you
deign
later on down.
Deign for alms to sue, yes.
That you deign for alms to sue, that you expect for alms. And I think the word sue there is referring to what we do for others. We kind of give to them what God has given to us.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's an expectation that Jesus has of us. You know, we're give as I have given to you. You know, how can you outgive God? How can you outgive what Jesus has done for us?
In fact, that's what the next line says.
Right.
Saying by your poor and needy, give as I have given to you. I'll do four, because it's the same as one.
Almost.
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Now, the new part. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you, but, O best of all your graces, with your love, our love, renew. So, hope to stay our souls on you. They're not going to understand the word stay.
I would say it's hang our souls on you. Lean our souls on you.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
Keep our souls on you. To keep them means to stay in the same place. But, O best of all your graces, with your love, our love renew. See, that's how you get people to become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about what it really means, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And you talk about it by what he did on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven.
All for us.
Until you
remember,
have the
hymn?
For you
for
in
us,
there.
For us, for us.
Excellent. That's so you singing this Sunday?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you decided your sermon? Still looking at it.
I think it's going to be in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, James is the one I'm going to be doing.
James is good.
And your church is where?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection, 8646 New Sappington. We have a service Saturday evening, if you can't make Sunday, Saturday evening at 5. And, of course, Sunday morning service at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you. We're a small but friendly congregation.
I think they're doing something with your big shopping center, I heard.
Yes. Yeah, they're mowing over, or they're plowing up the dirt that was piled up in front of it.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
What's it going to be used for?
Mixed purposes. I haven't heard the details, but it sounds like a good idea.
So you're going to start walking through it again?
No, I don't know about that. That'll take time.
Tomorrow is our third Bible study for congregations. We're doing the Good Samaritan. God bless.
Each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.